The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
How?
Welcome to We the People Radio. For another fun Sunday.
Absolutely.
It's going to be even more fun than usual because our guest isn't answering the phone, so.
I'm going to pull out my playbook.
So the fun's just starting.
The fun has just begun.
The fun has just started. So, anyway, you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. All of our contact information, sponsorship information. Love to hear your program ideas and all that good stuff. So let's see. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And Bill Hyde, who is
hiding at the
moment. Yes. Should have known. Darn it, the guy's last name was Hyde. Either that or you go for the Jekyll and Hyde thing, too. You know, could go either way. We hope you would stop hiding, though, and get on the air with us. So, I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff going on out in the big world. None of which we actually sat down and ruminated on to discuss with you today. And by the time anybody hears this in Philadelphia tomorrow, it'll probably all be different. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, jeez.
All they could talk about was Hillary. Actually, we coming back from an event last night in Yreka, I forced Bill to listen to progressive radio.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you like this show, you probably don't listen to progressive radio that often, but you really should. Sirius. It's Sirius 127 Progress.
Yeah.
It used to be 127 Left.
You get an idea of what they think.
Well, it was hilarious because all they could talk about was how the media is totally controlled by all the... I'll leave out the expletives because they're on Sirius, so they can say whatever they want. And they do say whatever they want. But all the right-wingers...
All the right-wingers.
Radio, TV, yeah. Everything is controlled by the right-wingers.
There's no representation on the left on media today.
No.
None.
No. The progressive agenda is completely silenced.
Yep.
By all of us.
By the dirty Republicans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, that was...
Because that wasn't what they said.
Yeah, well, that was part of it.
Actually, they assaulted their parentage.
Yes. Yes,
and I do believe some of the things were probably actually not possible. That they said.
No.
I didn't learn about them in science anyway. And
yeah, but they tried.
Yeah. So yeah. They think the world is overrun with the right wingers, which is actually pretty funny. So somebody's wrong.
Yeah, being they've basically had control of everything for 7 years. So
I know, and they don't think so.
But they don't think so now that it looks like it's slipping through their fingers all of a sudden.
And Congress is totally controlled by the right wingers, and they're getting everything they want.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, really?
Wow.
So why is everybody...
It was so bad. The host was... He was going to quit.
Oh, that's right.
He was going to quit. He couldn't do it anymore.
I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't take it.
Can't take it.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But then the last thing he said was, well, stick around. We'll be right back.
Yeah. That was actually pretty funny. Yeah, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to... And then he was talking about he needed sponsors. And I thought, wow.
Oh, that's a great way to...
Yeah. He didn't take any marketing classes in college.
Because he's such a business-friendly kind of guy.
Well, it's true. Yeah, it's true. All those evil corporations and capitalists and, yikes.
Meantime, advertise with me.
Yeah. And he read a big, long letter. Some professor at Columbia, imagine that, Columbia, he wrote a letter to Bernie Sanders... trying to give Bernie tips on how to pitch socialism without making it sound so scary.
So socialist.
So darn socialist, because people are turned off by that, because all of us right-wingers are poisoning everyone's minds. It was actually...
Because we can't be honest about what it actually is.
That's right. And we control everything. Don't forget that. We're getting everything we want. Somehow under Obama, the right-wing agenda has completely taken over.
Yeah. It just cracked me
by
up.
By we, I meant the socialism advocates in that particular case. They can't be honest about about what...
Oh,
it
no,
really
it was going to be great, though, because you know what? Everybody talks about Lenin and Mao and all these bad guys, and you know, it's just meant to mislead people, because real socialism is actually great. And Bernie Sanders, apparently, I got to say, I have not been to one of the rallies, but apparently he talks about Denmark. And so this guy's like, stop talking about Denmark. It scares people. I was like, wow, people are frightened of Scandinavian countries now? Kind of funny. Anyway, so for a good time.
I'm going to go grab the Danish.
Definitely. Stay away from the Danish, Bob.
Yeah, it was an eye opener. It was, but when he went to the whole media thing, how the media is all controlled by the right wing blank blanks, I thought, wow, how is he going to sell that?
Well, you really have to mull it over because somebody's wrong. I mean, the conservatives in this country are absolutely apoplectic, and for good reason. Okay, so now we're the guys on the other side, you know.
I really liked the folks that were calling in too. They were geniuses.
Yeah, yeah, the caller. That's another fun thing too. You start to realize that maybe it's not a lost cause after all because we're not really playing on the same field sometimes.
No, they weren't. They weren't.
It was fun, but I don't know. He didn't have any guests. At least they were available. Unlike Mr. Hyde, who is still doing that.
Yeah.
I need more music, Bob. So anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll see if we can't bludgeon Mr. Hyde into joining us, because actually he did a really neat
We'll tan his hide.
We will tan his hide. You know, just keep going on this. He has done a Civil War themed audio book, and we've had him on before with Heirloom Audio. It's really neat. And actually my burning question is, first, I want to know why he picked this project, and I want to know if he picked the project before the whole Confederate flag thing or after, and I want to know how he gets the horse noises, because they were really good. I listened to it. Yeah, they were way better than that.
They're better than that, yeah.
you're fired, or at least not in the market for an audiobook. Anyway, it was terrific, and we've got all of that on the website, just in case Mr. Hyde never shows up. We do have all this stuff on there, though. It's very interesting. And if you have kids and you're doing any kind of homeschooling at all, this actually counts as history curriculum. And we did another one about Braveheart, the original Braveheart. That's also on the website. That was how long ago? 6 months ago or something?
Actually, it was last December.
Was it really? It was a year ago?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Almost.
Wow. What is the deal with this year? This year's gone so darn fast.
Flying by. It's almost
Thanksgiving. Okay, so a year ago we did that one. And I will actually move that link on today's page two. All right. So join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, for all the fun information about the guest we're hoping we have. And other than that, we'll be right back. Yes, what shall we do about them? Extra poignant today, Bob.
They move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. There's a burning question, a fire in my mind. You always had the answers, the ones I couldn't find. So all I'm asking is, where are you now?
Yeah, so where are you, Bill? Where are you, Mr. Hyde? We're still kind of shuffling around here trying to figure out where our guest is. But we're working on it.
There we go. It's hard to be on the phone.
On two phones.
And it's hard to be on two phones at the exact same time. So we're gonna give Rusty a call on her mobile number right there, if you would, please.
Certainly.
So you are...
you missed that brilliant bumper music, but Bill heard it.
I did. What was the brilliant bumper music?
Where are you now?
Point Black. Where are you now?
It was so soft, I didn't hear it. Or maybe it was because I had a phone in my ear. So we were going to do an update on the VA situation. What the heck? Because there's been lots of fun stuff in the news about them lately.
Yeah,
again.
Somebody might get indicted over that. That's really exciting.
Our favorite cast of characters.
Yes, they're still around. They certainly don't want the spotlight on them anymore. I don't think it's been a lot of fun.
Bob dropped my phone.
Well, no, I dropped it because the screen went dark.
Don't drop it on your foot. That thing's the size of a small desk.
No kidding. Well, that's how phones are these days.
It is.
You can't win. So anyway, Philadelphia, we talk about them a lot. And there is a bunch of stuff going on in Philadelphia. You had Allison Hickey resign. She is the undersecretary. She's kind of the last holdover, I think, from Shinseki, really. I'm not sure anybody else in the upper echelon is still there. So she's the one who couldn't come up with a straight story on 13,000 claims or pretty much anything else, actually. And when we had the hearing back there in Washington, they actually made sure she was out of the country so she didn't give some other alternate theory of the crime. So anyway, she's gone, which is a good thing. Diana Rubens, who was the field, what do I want to call her? She was the field. She's now the field director. I forget what she is. She's in charge of all the field operations. That's
operations.
It.
Yeah.
So all the field offices. She's now running Philadelphia, except they're looking into her, as we've discussed previous, for her moving expenses. The old $274,000 that.
They might have to pay that back.
She got to relocate. So. Yeah.
But the bad thing about that whole thing was they actually jacked some poor guy out of his position.
Right.
An underling.
So that someone else could take his.
So that they could take his position and keep the same rate of pay and lay back and, you know, the heck with everybody else.
Yeah.
It's about me right now.
Well, Rubens and Graves are being looked at for potential criminal charges using their positions that way. But Oakland's been busy this week, too. So we have Rusty Brown on the line calling around, seeing who's available on Sunday afternoon to pinch hit with us. Hi, Miss Rusty.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. You caught me doing laundry.
Well,
this will be a lot more fun than laundry.
So much more fun.
Trust me, I know.
Unless you're at my house, in which case you wash the clothes and then you take them to the laundromat to dry them because our dryer breaks every 2 months.
Oh, no.
It's a good thing it's new. Oh, and it's Maytag. We got, you know, the Maytag repairman who never has anything to do. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
That's obviously wholly false.
Yeah,
So anyway, well, we've communicated back and forth a little bit this week, just because the Inspector General's back in Oakland.
Yes.
So for all those people who haven't listened to the previous shows, how could you have missed all this? But if you did, there's a tab on our website. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us and look at the top, there's a tab that says Veterans. And we've got all the different programs on there, and each of those pages has tons of information. So give folks a little background on how, you know, what you were working on. And I know you've been retired now for what, year?
Well, I've been retired from the VA for a year, but
God,
not so much retired because I'm still fighting the VA.
Exactly. I cannot believe it. I can't believe it's been that long, though. But I know.
No,
that.
I can't either. And I literally realized here not too long ago that it was right at a year. And I just, wow, it seems like not that much has changed, and yet a lot has changed. So, you know, just fighting the VA these days.
Well, and of course, you were like so many people. You would have stayed there, and you wanted to do your job, but obviously were prevented from doing that.
Absolutely.
Stress and being followed and all the rest of it. So you were part of a team of people who discovered, well, did you guys discover the 13,000 claims? You guys did, didn't you?
Well, actually what happened in 2009, 13,184 claims, old informal claims, had been found, and they had actually been found. Matter of fact, Diana Rubens was on a visiting site team in Oakland when these informals were found. And once again, then OIG had substantiated that, yes, these claims existed. And then in 2012, myself and four other people were put on a team to go through these claims. And what we thought were going to be instructions were going to be simple. These were not really claims. They were just going to be in and out. What turned into be lots of claims that went back to the early, mid-1990s, from veterans, you know, asking for help. And Oakland, VBA Oakland, literally stuck them in a four-drawer lateral cabinet and hid them away for years.
And the reason they did that was so that their numbers would look good. Is that kind of the?
Well, that's my belief. My belief is it's a strong belief amongst a lot of us that it all was centered around making their numbers look good. And we noticed this more and more as I was working there that, you know, you don't have one inventory of claims. You have lots of inventories of lots of different kind of claims. And so when the public asks for what is the inventory at Oakland, Oakland stands up and says, oh, our inventory is this, when in fact they have several other inventories that they're not including because they've just changed the type of claim that it was, changed the number, tracking number, or, you know, so there's still a lot of stuff that's still going on even now that's, you know, that goes back to, you know, watching the dates of claims. And they were literally holding these back, hiding them. And when we started going through them and realizing that these were, a lot of these were live claims, the majority, none of these had ever been, the veteran had never been answered, you know, and so you had a whole lot of them, you know, I would say thousands. In the beginning, in the first couple of weeks of screening these claims, we realized that thousands of these veterans were dead. That they were already dead, and they had been dead for years. So now we're in a position where, oh, my gosh, you've got five people working this project. All five of us are veterans. All five of us. And all five of us are smart enough to know that what they were doing is trying to slide these through some quote-unquote trainees. And what they made the mistake of is they picked the wrong five people. There was no doubt in my mind. They picked the wrong people.
Because they thought you guys would just do whatever they told you to do, you know.
So yeah, just shoot it through and do what they say. You know, they're used to having a lot of people that will just blindly accept what they say to do. And as a veteran, you know, a lot of us got jobs there thinking, oh, my gosh, the good that we can do in the next stage of our life. And then we noticed, I mean, literally noticed the first week I worked there, this is not right. The way they do things is not right. They're, you know, they're just not, it's more important to make it look good to the public and to make people think that the numbers are great, when what they're doing is they're taking each veteran and they're depriving them of benefit.
But it wasn't just to look good. I mean, there was also some monetary gain involved, wasn't there?
Well, you have, in the past, now they had this bonus incentive program. Now, I think they still kind of sort of do something like that, but they've changed the way that they title it. But, yes, it was based on how their numbers looked, and the managers were getting incentives. And we actually overheard one manager, you know, talking about it was just about time for his bonus, and he was going to go out and buy a new boat. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, they're getting bonuses, and we've got thousands of veterans who they won't contact, who they won't call, who even the ones that passed away, they didn't contact their families. They didn't explain to them, you know, they might be eligible for some type of benefit. So it was a very greedy, very selfish culture within the VA there in Oakland to just do whatever they needed to do to make it look good.
So if a veteran, say his claim was one of those that was just stuck in the closet and lost for all these years, if he actually requested help or wanted to file a claim back then and it was just stashed away, and now he's passed on, is that claim dead now, or do his survivors have any kind of recourse, or are they a beneficiary to claims that they never may have received?
Well, yes. The dependents may be eligible for something, and that was probably the hardest thing for us to accept, is that a lot of these veterans that we were reading letters from were Vietnam-era veterans, so they were suffering from presumptive conditions from Agent Orange exposure. So these individuals were reaching out for help. Now, if we can substantiate that, yes, they were in Vietnam or in an area that was exposed to Agent Orange, and they have one of these presumptive conditions, then they're eligible for compensation. And if they pass away due to this condition, then their family, their surviving spouse, may be eligible for death benefits. And these death benefits can be up to I think, $3,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
So when you're talking about an elderly woman who's lost her husband of 40 or 50 years and, you know, and she's living, oh, my gosh, you know, and even a small pension that some of these guys would have been eligible, their widows would have been eligible for, even at $400 or $500 a month could make a huge difference.
Oh, sure, sure. And not to mention, not to mention the suffering and the expense they went to prior to them passing on that they're now still dealing with, that would make a big difference in their life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hmm. So I'm, you know, the thing about being the VA is a lot of us went into it with this mentality that we were going to do such great things and wanted to help so many vets, and really the ones that we were able to help were the ones we were helping under the table. The ones that we weren't supposed to give out our direct phone numbers. I gave my number to everybody. I mean, anybody that wanted my number.
Even I heard about that. They were like, you should call Rusty, but her phone's always busy because everyone calls her.
Oh, yeah. If I was gone a day, the people in my pod with me would say, your phone rang all day long. And that's the kind of thing that if you wanted to really help these people, you had to kind of go under the radar to do it.
Mm. And once they found out you were working with the congressional office to get it fixed, then, well, all the fun stopped then.
Well, yeah, then the evilness really came out. And you don't realize until I remember the day I was at work and I realized I had just come back from being demoted from them denying my reasonable accommodation. And I had just come back and I remember standing there and I was overhearing some managers talking and I realized the depths that they would go to hurt people. And not just their own employees, but I'm a disabled vet. I'm 100% service-connected for PTSD. Oh, my gosh. And they had no concern. And I think the thing that really hurt them with me is that I was a good employee. I was an overachiever employee. And so, and I think that's the only reason we have still one or two people still even there, is that they're such good employees. They can't figure out a way to get rid of them.
You know, that's a great point. What is the, the mentality or the morale of the folks that are there? There's got to be still a considerable number of people working there that do care but are somewhat kind of under the thumb of management. Is that the case? I mean, is there still good people working there that want to do a good job?
There's a lot of good people that still work there. Unfortunately, when you have individuals that, you know, they're, say, you know, I know one gal whose husband is disabled. She's got kids. For her to lose her job would be catastrophic. So they are able to intimidate and bully and kind of keep you under their thumb, you know, keep you in line, you know.
Right.
And even though there are people now, I will say over the last year and since I testified in Washington and since all these OIG inspections have come out to Oakland, there are more and more people within, more and more employees within Oakland who are realizing that Rusty wasn't just nuts. Rusty was telling the truth. This really did happen.
Because some people really did believe that you were doing it somehow you were getting something out of it.
What was funny, I kept hearing management telling the other employees that I was just a disgruntled employee. But let me say this very loud and clear. You're damn straight I was a disgruntled employee, okay? I watched every day them take benefits away from veterans every single day. So, yes, I was absolutely a disgruntled employee. I went to my supervisor on, I would say at least 3 to 4 times a week. And I was, and we're talking 5 days a week. And I was in his office almost every single day complaining about, we're not doing this, we're not doing that, we should be doing. He didn't care. He didn't care. And that was the sad part. And there's this culture within, I think it's widespread amongst the VA. We had plenty of managers come into Oakland as visiting you know, helpers. And these were GS 13, 12s and 13s who really should know their stuff. And they're coming in doing the same nasty stuff as Oakland was doing.
Wow.
You know, when you talk about the hiding of the 13,184 claims, there were managers from other regional offices here to help Oakland. They all had knowledge of it. So it wasn't like, and they were the ones telling Oakland how to do it.
So they were doing the same thing in their offices that Oakland was doing. Wow.
Yeah, everybody's
it's
up
a
to the
game.
Everybody's
it's
up to the same. And I had heard that that they're pushing them off to other offices. Everybody's shifting their stuff to different offices to change.
Yeah.
Change the numbers. I've got to look up the latest memo from them. Do you have it handy? The one, the latest one of how great their numbers are.
I did get a copy of that the other day.
I did too.
Candy with me, but I can guarantee they're not. Not including.
But the fiction.
Not, those are not accurate numbers.
No, the fiction was so. I mean, really and truly, it was so big. I thought, oh, my gosh, who would be stupid enough to actually believe this? Let's take a really quick break, and on the break, I'm going to look and see if I can find it, because the statistics that they're claiming, I thought were kind of stunning, actually.
Because they just broke around now.
If things were going that well, we wouldn't have so many people who are still waiting, obviously.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. That little song always comes in handy when we talk about VA claims. So just to tidy up our guest situation today, Mr. Hyde, who is going to be on, is actually in hiding because he came back from London and is ill. So those of you who looked at the webpage and thought we were going to be talking about the With Lee in Virginia series, we're not. Because he's sick, and we don't know enough to have a whole conversation about it, even though we did listen to the audiobook.
I can do a couple of the voices.
I just wanted to know how they made the horse noises. I had fairly low needs today. I can't even get that. Oh, my gosh. So we have pressed Miss Rusty Ann Brown into service with us today. She is...
We have called her out of retirement.
We have called her out of... Well, you know, Rusty, actually, it is fair that you're on with us because after the hearing where you testified in April, it did you in for such a long period of time, we never could have you back on again to talk about it because
it
crushed
it's
you.
Pretty much took a, it took a toll after, you know, you fight the VA on a daily basis every day, and then I suffer myself with PTSD, so just going through that, and I think my body just kind of shut down and went, oh, my gosh, you know, this is a lot. And you realize at a certain point that you can push yourself. You have to take care of yourself, and I had to pull myself back for a couple of months and kind of get myself back to full speed again, so to speak.
Well, the good news is that you got on the record. Back there, and
yeah.
Well, look what's happened since then.
Move the ball.
Of all that.
Exactly,
I mean,
move the ball down the field. Well, between hiding all those claims and then all the shenanigans with Rubens and Graves back there in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and all their craziness, Allison Hickey's gone. And I did find
Hallelujah.
I know, isn't that great? I did find, this is actually pretty funny. It is on the disabledveterans.org website, entitled Allison Hickey, Final Love Note to VA Employees.
Yeah. I got that email that morning from VBA employees, and it was hard to read.
It was just ridiculous. Let's see, here's her final email. Over the last 4.5 years, I have sent you many a note acknowledging all the extraordinary, extraordinary efforts and results you have driven to significantly improve our delivery of benefits and services to over 12 million veterans, service members, and their family and survivors. In every one of these notes, there was also an ask, a call to action for the next level of service we can and should provide. This note, my last one to you, is no different.
CYA.
I asked you all 4 years ago to embark on a seemingly impossible mission, knowing from my early and continued conversations with you that you were all in. She uses that expression a lot.
All in.
That's what she, that was in the email to Rubens. If she wanted to make that transfer to Philly, she was all in.
Yeah. Well, everybody has to be all in. Come on, it's a team.
That's something she likes.
Someday you'll get a moving experience.
She says, so willing, able, and ready to transform VBA, Veterans Benefits Administration, in scope and scale, never achieved before in our history. It's like, still never achieved. You committed your heart and soul in such phenomenally dedicated ways. I'm proud today to acknowledge that together we have changed how we serve veterans for all time. God, I hope not. And we are not done yet. Oh, yeah, here we go. There's still more to do. Here come the imaginary numbers. As a direct result of the transformation plan. Now, that's in capital letters, so she must actually have... She must actually think they were working on a quote-unquote transformation plan. We developed together and implemented. We have eliminated a decades-old backlog by nearly 90%.
Oh, she's crazy.
I know.
Again, which
90%?
Pile are you referring to? Because there were several.
Well, she says reducing it from 611,000 claims to just over 70,000 claims today.
In what period of time?
That's in the whole country. There's only 70,000 claims in the whole country.
I think they're doing a mini series on her right now, Supergirl. I think she's actually starring in that.
Nice
also
Bill.
Nikki.
Nice
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Rusty, are you kidding me? 70,000 claims in the whole country?
No, there's no way. There's no way. And then once again, you're talking about maybe one small group of claims versus there still being multiple inventories out there that are not included in these figures.
Yeah,
they don't include them.
Well, she also says, and they've increased their accuracy at the claim level by 8%. So they moved up 8%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but actually their accuracy here, according to her, is 96%.
No way.
And it's over 98%. In 7 of the 8 error categories with at least one 97.7%. I mean, it's like, God. What is she saying?
I don't know where she got her numbers at, but I just don't see it. But
well,
you
if you
know,
put that out there, then you can always refer back to it as a previous truth. See, it was in this email. So, and we talked about all this.
God,
you know.
Well,
that'll be true.
At any given time, do you know how many claims were rolling through Oakland?
Let me see here. I think when I left in last year, oh gosh,
ballpark.
Wow.
I couldn't even begin
to tell you. I was so not privy to.
Well, because I guess the only reason I'm asking is there are 56 benefit centers around the country.
Right.
And if they only have 70,000 claims, what?
Oh, no, that's totally off. That's totally crazy.
Right. Well, they wouldn't have a backlog.
Why would they need so many centers if they've only got that many left? I mean
they could be doing that literally from probably one place with just a ton of people.
Well, they're right now. They're still doing projects in Oakland that go back to old stuff. So how are they dealing with new stuff if they're still they just concluded a project. It was a secret project, which was 700 claims that they found. 700 claims. Now, once again, they've got stuff everywhere. So when they report numbers, I don't even take it with a grain of salt. I just throw it away.
Well,
period.
I mean, for those people out there who are not Rain Man, 70,000 claims spread over 56 offices. Let's just say that they all had the same amount. That's 1,250 claims.
No.
Now, why would you need 300 employees to process 1,200 claims?
Exactly.
And why are people waiting years for that to happen? And interestingly enough, the claim that I've referenced now for the last couple of years that is 37 years old now, that guy just got back his results from the Board of Appeals, and the Board of Appeals actually service-connected him for every single thing he claimed that Oakland has denied him for all these years.
Oh, yeah.
So every single bit of that was flipped over, so he must be in that rarefied air of 2% error.
It kind of makes you wonder, though, when they it goes to the Board of Appeals and every single one was reversed, how could they get it all wrong?
Especially if they have a 98% accuracy rating.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Boy, some things have changed.
He just caught it.
You have a lot of times you have decisions being made strictly from not so much by the regulations or not by the rules, but more so by, well, I just don't want to give them those. Or I don't think they deserve it. Or, you know, so you've got
have
the ability to do that.
I know. See, that's what's crazy is they can just take it on themselves to make that decision and not have any kind of guide. Well, they have guidelines. They just don't.
Well, I remember back when that claim was being looked at, somebody had called from Oakland and said that they were sitting in the lunchroom saying, well, if we gave him money back to 1979, what would he do with all that money? He doesn't need that much money.
Wow.
That's not part of the criteria, is it, Rusty?
Who is that person to say that? I mean, who are they?
Yeah, exactly. Well, besides the fact that there are rules and regulations that actually govern what people are paid based on their claim, based on when they filed it and all that, this isn't some subjective. This is almost like they're settling hit and run cases.
Right. It's like you said, Rusty. Where did they get the authority to make that kind of judgment call?
Oh, they do it. I know a case just recently where a gentleman had seen three doctors, got three different statements from all three doctors. The VA had a nurse practitioner who overruled it, and the VA denied him his benefits.
Hmm.
Now, this is crazy.
You've
got reputable physicians, but the VA makes it, we're just not going to do it. Hmm. Well, who are you? They met the criteria. They did everything they were supposed to do. The doctor even says it. No, we're not going to give it to him.
And imagine what that does to the veteran. You know, he goes to three different doctors. They all say the same thing. Yes, he is eligible. He is messed up. He does deserve.
And then you wait and wait and wait and wait.
Right. And then they tell you no. I mean, talk about crushing.
Yes.
So now when somebody's processing a claim, when you guys are processing a claim down there, do you know when it goes to the next level if somebody flips over your decision?
No, because once you finish your action, then you have no reason to go back to it. So then you have a whole nother list of claims to do those actions on. So you never have a reason to go back.
Because it's kind of like an assembly line.
Exactly. They keep it disconnected. Matter of fact, they keep it so disconnected. It goes back to them not wanting personal direct communication with the veterans. I know a gal right now who's an MST survivor who's trying to file for her PTSD claim, and they're required to have an MST coordinator contact her within a very short amount of time. Well, she has called, this veteran has called and called and called and called, and this person has yet to call back, and it's been 6 months.
Wow.
So they pick and choose, you know, they have regulations, they have rules, but if they don't do them, what's the repercussions? There are no repercussions. If you belong to what we used to call the good old boys club, you basically did whatever they wanted and you were protected. If you didn't do what they wanted, it was all hands off and you had a target on your back.
And just to clear up for folks, the MST claims, those are military sexual trauma claims. So that isn't something where people should be, I mean, nobody should be dogged for any claim for all this time, but waiting 6 months and all that. They hate those claims.
Yes. Those are complicated. They take time. It takes away from the employee being able to make their daily production numbers. And that's, once again, it goes against the VA. If they really, truly wanted to help the veterans, get rid of this production stuff. Get rid of it, okay? Because your boss is going to know whether you're doing your job or not.
Right.
They're going to understand it because day by day, case by case, they're different.
Yeah.
You know, what applies to one person doesn't apply to the next person.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kind of lay it out there, generalizing it. That's not helping our veterans.
Well, the person with the complicated claim obviously then goes to the back of the line because they're going to foul up everybody's numbers. We need to take a really quick break. We will be right back. We are speaking with Rusty Ann Brown. She is a former employee of the Oakland VA. Done several shows with Rusty talking about claims that have been buried and hidden and stuff. We need to talk about the Inspector General that's hanging out down there when we come back.
Yeah, what's going on right now?
I know. It's been kind of fun. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa.
'Cause I don't know if you are loving somebody, I only know it isn't mine. I know this world is killing you, oh, Allison.
Our farewell.
My aim is true.
Yeah. Our send off to General Allison Hickey, Undersecretary for the VA. I have no idea how she got to be a general. It blows my mind. Mm. Really does a disservice to generals everywhere.
Really makes you want to look back and see what was going on back then,
yeah,
too.
What was going on back there?
Who did she step on the way up?
Interestingly enough, her little farewell letter, here was another part that I thought was kind of funny, actually. We no longer touch 5,000 tons of paper in a single year. We now complete 99.9% of all veterans' claims in our newly transformed digital environment. We did this all in a record-breaking 2 years, something not done before at this magnitude in the federal government and not easily matched even in the commercial business environment. Rusty, here it says that you've made history across both federal and commercial space in your all-in efforts to achieve this transformation for our veterans.
Wow.
So did you know that the technology you have built, tested, and deployed has been instrumental in this accomplishment? But the real success belongs to the people who built and use it every day to make such a big difference. So that's what, 12 different computer systems, 10 or 12 that you guys use for benefits?
Oh, my, yes. But let me say this, that the systems that the VA uses, like a lot of other government agencies, is minimal in its ability.
Yeah, aren't they bizarre and antiquated?
We never understood why they didn't. You know, you've got all these people right here in Silicon Valley, nearby. I mean, oh my God, we've got
that's true.
Out here. And you've got these programs that literally, I know for a fact, here a few days ago, talked to a friend who's working there now. The system was down 7 hours. 7 hours.
Well, I heard they had hand cranks and steering wheels on them. I don't know if that's true. But.
I mean, so they were literally doing nothing for 7 hours.
And wow.
So the systems that they're using, the, you know, is, it's not good. It's not great.
So the transformation isn't as great as she says?
Listen, they've been using the word transformation since the day I got hired, and that was in September of 2009.
Huh.
Okay. They've been talking about transformation. All they're doing is, you know, shifting things around, changing to misidentify, or in some cases, not even, you know, you've got a project that just ended in Oakland, just finished up, and there are, I don't know, probably 150 to 200 old claims folders that are sitting in Oakland right now that should have already been sent to the scan center.
Hey, and I think we have a picture of that. Hang with us, Rusty. We have to let the news people talk for a few minutes. Do a little wash for a few minutes, and then we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for being our hostage. This is awesome. You're listening to
Not
We the People
problem.
Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Welcome back. You're rejoining We the People Radio. We've changed our program today.
Experiencing some program difficulties.
Well, just some program
rescheduling.
Yeah, whatever.
Reconnoitering.
So anyway, Mr. Hyde, who is on the website for today, actually was in London, apparently, and got sick. So he came home, he was sick, sent us a text message right before the program that I didn't get until we were actually already on the air, that he wasn't going to be on with us. So anyway, the original promise, like he's going to come on later, yeah, that was a lie. look, I didn't burst into flames or anything. See, if Hillary would just say it, nothing would happen.
That's right.
I'm proof positive. You can say a lie and nothing will happen. Well,
at this point, what difference does it make?
Right on cue. you're so predictable.
Yeah, well.
So anyway.
You're another one.
So we shifted gears and we decided to do an update on VA, which is actually good because there was a bunch of stuff going on with those guys. And first hour, we talked a little bit about Allison Hickey, the undersecretary. And seriously, if you have not read her parting letter to the employees at the VA, you really ought to. I will put it on the website, actually. It'll be on here shortly. And Oakland, our favorite location, mm-hmm. Veterans Benefits Administration location.
Our favorite kickball.
We have Rusty Ann Brown with us, who worked there from 2009 until 2014 and was involved in the, should we call it a scandal, Rusty? It's a scandal, right?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's still a scandal.
But scandal just sounds so trite. Like,
It's worse than that.
Yeah. When you take over 13,000 claims and hide them for 20 years, interestingly enough, I spoke with someone in Oakland, whatever day it was, Wednesday or Thursday, and that lady had told me that she saw a claim from 1988.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
1988.
Wow.
So if you're a veteran out there and you sent the VA a letter at some point in time requesting benefits, and you didn't hear back from them.
It's only been 27 years.
And you are still...
You might want to follow that up
still
with a phone
kicking.
Call.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, it's hard to follow up because a lot of these folders are even being, I believe, hid. So if they're not, if the information's not going to the scan site and being scanned in so that everybody can see it in the system, how are they going to prove that the veteran filed a claim back in 1980, whatever?
Well,
really going to be dependent on that employee.
Well, the picture that that I have that I'll be posting, I've got to do all this right now, but the picture that I have it looked like about 150 maybe different claims, and they were labeled informal claims, and I think you had told me that they were going to be going to storage or...
Well, they were trying to send, from what I've been told, they were trying to send them back to the storage facility in San Bruno, which essentially means that it wouldn't go to the scan site and it wouldn't be in the system and they would just be hid. Okay. Now, my understanding also is that San Bruno has been told not to accept any new folders So now they're just sitting there in Oakland, and Oakland's trying to figure out what to do with them. Well, why don't you send them to the scan site so they can go be scanned and be put into the system so that maybe some really good employee can look at that veteran's file and actually see what happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, because otherwise, without the paper file, no one will know.
Exactly. Yeah, things seem to disappear a lot of times. A lot. Okay. So you have to hope that the veteran that comes in actually gets a hold of a good employee and that that record has actually not been jeopardized. There's so many records that, you know, Oakland and their data integrity is just a joke. There is no data integrity. If there was, you wouldn't have stuff like this happening. You wouldn't have them continually finding old claims. Okay? If you find a piece of paper, you get it into the scan site, you get it scanned so that it's there permanently, period. So even if you can't work it, somebody down the road is going to be able to work it. Okay? But when you just hide stuff, nothing can happen.
How do you?
Well, wasn't there a point not too awful long ago that they were actually, well, they claimed they had gone over and a lot of the claims were not actionable, so they were shredding them?
I don't have any knowledge of them shredding any documents in Oakland. That's not to say that didn't happen. Now, what did happen a few months ago? I believe it was around April or May. They found approximately 250 old claims in the shred room in Sacramento. So somebody had put them there as if they were about to be shredded. And from what I was told, those claims got found by a somewhat decent employee that said, wait a minute, you can't shred these. Sent them back to Oakland. And Oakland had to work them, but once again, they did it under lock and key. They did it under wraps.
Exactly.
They didn't do it in full exposure. They didn't even acknowledge that it happened. They wouldn't even acknowledge, and yet there were multiple employees that had firsthand knowledge that it happened. Okay. Just like the 1,300 they found back in, I believe it was February. Those 1,300, again, another 1,300 old informal claims. Where are they finding this?
Exactly. What are they doing? I mean, are they just finding a cubbyhole someplace where they can stash some papers? And when
they did that for years. Listen, for years in Oakland, they literally had carts that they moved around. Literally.
Unbelievable.
Now we're in this digital age, and I think that they're coming to this quandary of, okay, do we send everything to the scan site and make everything visible? Oh my gosh, if we do that, they're going to know what we got.
Well, it makes you wonder.
Back on this stuff.
Well, it also makes you wonder if they found these claims in the shred room, were those the ones that they just didn't have time to complete and maybe a bunch more got shredded prior to that? Or,
exactly.
You know, what else was in there that got shredded?
Exactly.
I mean, that
exactly.
Sounds like a terrible flaw in their system when something that's actionable or something that needs to be saved ends up in a shredding room.
Well,
exactly. But now you look at thousands of claims that were in this 13,000. Thousands of veterans that were affected. And yet you've got no one in Oakland that's ever been held accountable, even though it's all been substantiated. Not one person has been held accountable.
It was interesting because someone brought up last week that the two managers who have been there throughout that whole thing are Rachel Pennington and Michelle Kwok.
Yes.
They've been there since all of this started, and they're the only two managers that have been there through the whole thing. Is that right?
Well, they're the only two in upper management. Okay, you still have plenty of managers, coaches, okay, right below the service center manager, you know, those guys. You got plenty of those guys that you report.
And yet they never get sent, I mean, they never get sent packing, obviously.
No, nothing ever, you know, there were so many rumors at once, you know, when you have a coach who will literally put his hands on a U.S. congressman and throw him out of the VA, okay, and never get anything. Well, we did hear rumors that that employee did have some type of reaction against him, but once again, it was not known to the public. So the employees think, oh, he's on vacation, when in fact, he very possibly was suspended for a week or two.
Yeah.
And yet they won't let that go out in public because it ruins their image. That person shouldn't even be there anymore.
Tell the story.
Thousand shouldn't be there.
Yeah, tell the story for folks that don't know, because that was a while ago we talked about that.
About the 13,000?
No, about the congressman getting exited. lack of a better description.
Congressman LaMoffa came up to the regional office, and, you know, we didn't get him through with our credentials. You know, he's a U.S. congressman. We did wait for him as he came through security. We took him up to the 17th floor, straight to the director's office, which is mandated in our, as an employee, I would have to do that. He had a nice little talk with the staff, with the management, came downstairs and then asked to, have a look around. And we had another employee who, was walking him around and giving him a look, at the facility. He actually came into my work area, and which was probably one of the most hot areas because this is where all the problems had stemmed from those 13,000 claims. But the congressman came through and wanted to talk to the supervisor, and he was very disrespected. It was unbelievable that a coach could essentially call a congressman a liar in front of lots of employees, okay? Mm. As the congressman is sitting there with his elbow on the cart that has the informal claims on it, which was priceless. I mean, it was a moment that, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? And yet they would literally then walk him to the door and hold him and take him outside. Literally take him from the building. Okay.
Wow.
So,
well, they were,
this is the depth.
They were mad, right? They were mad that he had kind of slipped the noose, I guess, as it were.
Well, they were getting found out. That was the problem. You know, everything wasn't as quiet and as safe as they had it. You know, you had, I think my husband said for once in my life he finally figured out what my big mouth was for. Okay.
Nice.
This is it. This was what it was for. Okay. It was just to, you know, it's not right. It wasn't right what they did. It's not right what they continue to do. And, you know, once again, you go back to Allison Hickey. I can remember a budget hearing that she was in back in, I believe it was March. It was right after my CBS interview in February, where she ridiculed me and laughed about that Oakland employee. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Those were just copies of claims. We proved that those were actual claims. She knew they were actual claims. She knew at that moment when she said that those were actual claims. So what does that make her?
I do believe we discussed that earlier. That would be a liar.
Complicit in
a giant liar, and not very good at it either, because she didn't even, I mean, everyone knows if you're going to tell a lie, tell the same one, you know, I mean,
exactly.
If you get asked about it again, but they all came up with different lies on that whole story. So did the Western area manager, Mr. Willie Clark, who now works in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And as did Juliana Bohr, the current director of Oakland, and Michelle Kwok.
Who just retired? Somebody just retired out.
Not out of Oakland.
No, out of, I think, Philly, was it?
Well, no, they all just switched chairs. That was just your basic chair switching.
Oh, then they can't find them.
The upper
See, I don't look the same.
I want that job.
I can't believe you're confused about where these people are. I mean, how do you get confused there? It is. You almost need a playbook.
They should just save a lot of time and money and just change clothes.
I need a little
swap
chart.
Clothes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm madly updating the website while we're talking here. I'm going to put that. I'm going to put. You're probably going to have to refresh your screen if you're listening to this live on Sunday. Good deal, Philadelphia. By the time you get the show, it'll all be set. You don't have to scramble. It's only the Sunday people that have to scramble a little bit. But I'm going to put that picture up there of the 150 claims, just so people can see what kind of volume you're talking about, and how much effort it would take to actually hide that. You know, it would just be so much easier to just process the darn stuff. Anyway, we're going to come right back. We are chatting with Rusty Ann Brown, our good friend from the Oakland, former Oakland VA employee, who has been really instrumental in unraveling their little world, I guess, for lack of a better description. And we like that. So anyway, be right back with you. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody takes and takes.
Everybody makes mistakes. That's it. It's just a mistake.
Just a mistake.
13,184
times.
Mistakes.
Yeah.
That they keep making.
Little thing.
So I finally did load the picture. If people have to go back to today's page, I just switched the whole thing around. But on there is a picture of that. And you see some of them that are rubber banded together as people look at those files, just so you kind of know what you're looking at. The they call them volumes. Each of those folders is a volume, and some of these people have multiple volumes.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't... some of this stuff might be in the computer, isn't that?
My understanding is that those folders came from Tim Bruno directly.
Oh, they were all sitting in there just like this?
Yes. So they were in San Bruno. They came to Oakland for them to work a piece of paper that they had found, supposedly another old informal, okay, and thus the sign on the files up there at the top of the picture says informal process. So what they were doing is they pulled these old folders out of storage at San Bruno. They did what they were supposed to do. I, you know, whether it was accurate or the right thing, I don't know, but they did something. And now the folders are sitting there because they can't send them back to San Bruno. And they're not in a hurry to send them to the scan site. And that's one of the questions. Why aren't these folders going straight to the scan site? Why are they sitting there just kind of hanging out?
Yeah, why are they?
You know, that if that veteran calls, if any one of those veterans calls, and he's got an issue going on with his claim, they don't have a record. They don't have anything scanned into the system, and they don't have a physical record in hand.
Well, I got to wonder.
Now they've gone.
I got to wonder, too, if they can't file a paper file in a cabinet in the right place where it can get processed, what chance is there that when they scan this stuff that it gets filed in a fashion that will ever be retrievable? Because if they scan
well,
it,
that was another fear of a lot of the employees was, can we really trust when it leaves here and goes to the scan site? There was a lot of records. I can tell you very honestly, there were lots of records that were lost from the Oakland Regional Office before they ever got to the scan site. Lost,
yeah. What's that mean?
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, where do they go?
You know, and so once again, now you've got, a group of veterans that are basically SOL because they've got no records.
And that's those are the people who get the letter that says, could you please send this to us again, which makes people crazy, by the way.
Right.
I mean, how irritating is that, you know, to keep being asked for the same darn thing over and over again? Hey, so
well, now they're going to this national queue, and all these records are supposed to be scanned into a system, and so anybody in the United States can work on any claim within their realm. Okay, so you might get an Oakland veteran whose claim is being worked by a Baltimore employee. Okay, and that's what they're supposed to be doing starting up here, I think it was this last week. That's when the system shut down. Okay, so, you know, the accuracy, the records are not getting there. You know, you still got tons of records in storage in San Bruno. All those records should have already made it to the scan site.
And there's a scan site in Janesville, Wisconsin, and there's another one too, though, someplace.
Well, the records of the veterans that are deceased, my understanding, if the veteran is deceased, what they're doing is they're sending those records to National Archives. Okay, now National Archives, my understanding is that it's supposed to be scanning documents also. So what is happening to a lot of these records, you know, the VA can't keep track. They just can't. So then you've got veterans, records are being lost, and they can't get their claim finished because they can't prove anything because there's no record.
Yeah, and that happens quite a bit. So, yeah, you can't substantiate what you're looking for because your medical records and different things, and so in some cases, those are the originals. So there's no...
Exactly.
Everybody always thinking that the military and whatnot keeps copies of all this stuff. Not so much. So
a lot of times, the Vietnam veterans, the only way they can substantiate that they were in boots on ground in Vietnam, a lot of times, it's maybe one little stamp in their health record from the corpsman. Okay, because their DD-214 may not say anything about being in Vietnam, and yet they're trying to substantiate that they were in the country, and that's why they have this Agent Orange presumptive condition. They can't prove it because the records are nowhere to be found.
Sure, it says that they were never there, and they can't.
Exactly.
Isn't that great? So we have Horse Creek Mike on the phone. I know he's been having lots of fun with the VA because we just talked about it. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Question. I know this isn't germane to the topic today. But
that's okay. We're just making up our own topic today, so that's cool.
Okay. Well, but Rusty is in, and I thank you for your service, Rusty.
Thank you.
I understand you are in the claims division, but this push to digitize all the records. Does that also happen over in the VA care facilities also? Is that happening?
You know, honestly, I can't speak about VHA because VHA is so separate from VBA, so disconnected, that we usually most of the time didn't have any idea what they were doing.
I don't think they do either.
And that's the sad part. There was no system integrated that, you know, you could talk back and forth and incorporate records. You know, they had one where we could go in and look at medical records when we were working the claims. But other than that, that was it. There was nothing in between the hospital and the benefits areas at all.
So veterans health care and veterans benefits are operating in two totally different orbits.
Totally. Planets. Hmm. Totally different. Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe since they'd pushed to digitize your section. And, of course, the one thing I kind of look at, if there's no paper record, taking it out of the digital record is just a matter of hitting the delete button.
Correct.
You don't even have to physically take it to the shredder.
That's a scary... Frankly,
correct.
Well, that's why they need to have multiple locations. I mean, a scan document takes no physical space at all. And so you can take a digital record and you can have it on multiple systems so that they don't have a mysterious fire like they did once before and all these records are lost forever. You know, so there is some benefits of scanning it, but the problem with scanning is it has to be scanned in a fashion that it can be easily found, because if you file it under the wrong name,
it can
end up in somebody else's jacket, where a paper file might someday be found. In a scanned copy, it's never going to be found.
Well, anybody who's ever scanned anything into a computer knows that.
Oh, what did I do with it? Where did I file it? You know, it's gone forever.
Well, and this is, I was, I was, I guess I was the smarter one of the batch that when I left the service, I went in and I took everything that they were going to just disappear. I took my training records. I took my service record. I took my health records. Now, the health records, they said, oh, we got to send these back to wherever. I said, then make me a copy, you know.
Right.
And I said, well, we can't take a copy of everything. And I said, well, then you give me back my shot record that I gave you when I entered and is still there. And I said, I want pictures of all of this, 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 and this. And so I left the service with a file, you know, basically saying where I'd been stationed, what I'd been trained to do, and what major medical procedures had been done to me when I was in, and what immunizations I'd been given, including prior to what I'd gone into the service. Because being a service brat, I've got a shot record that is 30 feet long.
right.
But, yeah. Anyway, okay, thank you very much, Rusty, and I do appreciate your service and blowing the whistle and all the horrible things they've done to you. I mean, I don't appreciate them doing it to you, but I appreciate you standing up and still staying with it.
Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that, greatly.
Mike?
All right, thank y'all.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Mike. Yeah, uh-huh. Mike gets to meet lots of the veterans in the district that are served out of the Oakland office, and he gets to hear all the stories, you know, people waiting and waiting and waiting. And it just doesn't have – I mean, honestly, do you think it has to be that hard?
No. There's so many things in day-to-day at the VA that could be taken care of with just minimal effort. But once again, it goes back to there being almost a culture in upper management of what can we do to skirt the numbers? What can we do to make it look better than it is? So until they fix that, that's the problem right now. Until they fix the culture within the VA and get rid of the dirty man. And I'm not saying let these, you know, you got managers in Oakland that are going to walk out and retire with nice little benefits when they knowingly held benefits back from veterans. Knowingly. How can they do that? And that's what's driving me a little crazy, I think, these days, is that nobody really is being held accountable. And there's a lot of things that could be done. A lot of things that could be. Common sense? Oh, my gosh.
What's that?
A little common sense.
Yep.
Well, and there's the everybody always thinks it's the union, you know, and it's the rank and file folks that are part of the union. But geez, if you want to blow the whistle and make things better, the union crushes you as bad as management.
Oh, the union in Oakland was terrible when I was there. Matter of fact, the union would circumvent the employee and go to management. I had the union president go to management and say, "No, you need to demote her. You need to make her back to a claims assistant." After she had been told she had no involvement in my case at all, none.
Wow.
So there are people that, matter of fact, the few people that have been good within the union there in Oakland have been pushed out recently because they're not playing the game. So you can't fight. It's hard to fight the VA and the union at the same time and still try to survive.
Well, and the bottom line is you're there to do a job, you know, and when you're so wrapped up in, you know, trying to do the right thing and having to fight all these people, you can't do your job. You can't really help anybody, and that's the shame of the whole thing.
Oh, no. It was a struggle daily in that place, and, you know, I still keep in contact. I still have veterans that I still keep in contact with that I met through the VA. Just met them on the phone, hooked them up, you know, gave just simple things, very simple things that anybody could have done, but nobody wanted to take the time. And it wasn't anything special. That's what drives me crazy. You could, you know, if you give a veteran your phone number and you say, okay, if you've got a question, give me a call, we'll clear it up. But they won't let them do that.
Yeah, that's too easy.
The easy things, they overcomplicate because they don't want them
Yeah.
And you know, when you when you're dealing with that, I just can't imagine the stress level in a work environment like that. It's just from the minute you walk in, it's got to be just like a weight just comes over you until you leave the building.
It's a pressure.
There were a lot of days that, and unfortunately, you know, also dealing with my own PTSD, there were a lot of days that the guilt over what we were doing to these veterans became overwhelming.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I mean, I would literally hide in the bathroom for half an hour crying, okay, or literally have to, you know, go outside or go to the bathroom throwing up because what were we doing? Here was somebody that was hurt so drastically, and they were minimizing and marginalizing and just put them over here and don't worry about it. No!
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no kidding. And then you're supposed to be able to just walk out the door and just forget about it all and have a...
And disconnect.
And disconnect. Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
No, you can't.
I used to come home and my husband would say, "Baby, please." You know, it was every night.
Every night
I was crying. Every night it was a story about what had happened that day. And now the guy is, of course, he's my biggest supporter. He's, you know, go Big Mouth, go, you know. you know, he's the greatest thing, but, it was really hard to watch all these other employees too, who were disabled vets, who were sitting there being told to take benefits or not allow benefits just because. For no reason, you know, didn't make any sense.
That's the kicker, is you're asked to basically...
And then you got Allison Hickey and you got Secretary Bob. You know, when he first got his job...
Secretary Bob emailed me,
I emailed that man 3 or 4 times. I'm an active employee. Here's what's going on. I provided evidence to a congressman. Come on, dude. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nowhere. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back, and you have another person on the line, Rusty, who either wants to ask you something or tell you something, not sure which. But he'll be our Halloween caller. His name's Boo. So in honor of Halloween. And we'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Better theme song for the claims process. Unbelievable. So we're here with Rusty Ann Brown, and I have updated the website. Da-da-da-da. It has now been completely shifted. It has nothing to do with Bill Hyde because he is sick, gone. So we found Rusty doing laundry down in Oakland and pressed her into service. Thank goodness.
We scrubbed the website.
We did. So we got it all squared away, and now I've got all my facts in front of me. I should put in there that Rusty is a U.S. Navy veteran. She was a corpsman from 1979 to 1989 and began working in Oakland in September of 2009. And I think I started chatting with you a couple of years ago, huh, Rusty?
Yeah, it's been... I went back to look at all my text messages, and it was... I think April of 20, 2013 that yeah. we first started.
It's been a long time.
About. Yeah.
And then we had our little adventure sleepover there at the at the hearing in Washington D.C.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yes, party time it was.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. all four hospitals and three ambulances.
Exactly.
it was a regular riot. We'll have to do that again and actually have fun this time. That
well,
would be
I will
good.
Tell you, there was one big benefit from that whole fiasco medically was that the 15 pounds that I wanted to lose, I lost.
Holy cow, no fooling.
For heaven's
yeah,
sakes.
Yeah, that's not the way to do it, but
and it wasn't walking back and forth up to the apartment on the fourth floor. although we did shed a few pounds doing that. So, yeah, that building needs an elevator bad. Hey, so Boo, we've got you in the holding pattern. What's up this morning, buddy? Or this afternoon? Did we lose
Hello.
Him?
Hello.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, first of all, I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I can't name them all right now, but they're a great crew. And I had a question for Rusty. She's doing a fantastic job. Thanks for your service, dear.
Thank you.
And a little sidebar here, our local VA outpatient clinic. I've been through two doctors in the last year. They have since gone on, and they're still alive. They're moving, but I can't get a doctor, and I'm having a problem getting my prescriptions refilled. Now I don't understand that. I've never had a problem before. Now they got to be approved by a doctor, and I mean, I don't understand why they can't refill my methamphetamine and cocaine.
Your crack. Don't forget your crack.
Totally unreasonable.
Crack. No, seriously, it's like blood pressure.
It really makes me upset.
Oh, it's that black market blood pressure medication?
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally out. And I ordered it 3 weeks ago online, and then I called the prescription line, and I guess they have to go through a doctor if it's not up to date. They got to refill it. I understand that, but
right.
Who are they talking to when I can get my meds?
That's kind of interesting. We should probably ring their bell on Monday. Eh?
Yeah, I talked to the patient advocate when I was down about 2 weeks ago. I had to go in and get a cortisone shot for my shoulder, and while I was there, I talked to the patient advocate, and he said, well, you have to fill out this form, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. He says, this is on a Friday. He said, Tuesday, I'll do it for you. I'll walk it through so you can get a doctor assigned. So I haven't heard anything. So
wow.
I was just wondering if anybody knows about what's going on with our local docs. And I'll take my answer off the air. Love you guys.
Happy Halloween. Yeah, that's not good. Sounds like maybe I better call down there on Monday and give an inquiry.
Yeah, I've not heard of many problems with the with my prescription refills. I've not had any real difficulties, but there's definitely a disconnect for him if they're not refilling medications like blood pressure medication. You know, there's definitely something wrong.
Well, we keep going through doctors here. We've had a little bit of an exodus. When the working conditions are bad and the stress is high, we just had another lady physician. She actually is an infectious disease specialist and actually very qualified. And now she's not mm-hmm. working there anymore because it was too stressful. So,
right.
Anyway, the management at the healthcare end doesn't seem to be a lot better than the management at the benefits end.
Well, I do know from personal experience, my primary practitioner there at Oakland, this was about a year ago, told me that she was at a meeting there with the other doctors and the administration. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, basically, what they were doing is moving the appointments around. You know, there's such a scandal already about wait times and appointments. But what they will do is they will they'll set an appointment with a veteran, but then they'll call and cancel the appointment and reschedule it for another, so that they're really, the veteran's not getting in 30 days. It might be 90 or 120 because they keep canceling the appointments. Well, this primary physician that I was using, this gal, she literally told me that she told them in the meeting one day that she wasn't going to do that anymore. She couldn't do that anymore. It wasn't right. Okay. Now, I haven't seen that doctor. They changed my primary physician here about 3 months ago. I don't know if she's even still there or not. Mm. So the culture, I think, is widespread, whether it's VHA or VBA. I just don't, I think generally there's just not a factor about caring about the veteran themselves, period.
Yeah, and there's no incentive. I mean, I know there are lots of employees who do. Obviously, there are tons of people who went to work at the VA on purpose because they wanted to help veterans and or they are veterans themselves. So there are tons of people, but they, for some reason, don't make it into management. And you can't,
because
can't
we
just
don't
be
know how to say yes.
Yeah, it can't just be an accident that none of them ever worked their way over the bar. That, you know, that magically the only ones, well, it's very much a culture of, this is the way we're going to do it, and we don't really care what the, you know, at the end of the day, what the rule book says.
Correct.
Hence the multitude of claims at the Board of Veterans Appeals that are being reversed.
God, that should be their that should be their biggest department, is the appeals department.
Well, the appeals.
Oh, exactly, because you're talking about claims that are 7, 8, 9 years old, some of them, and then you've got others that are older than that.
And it sounds like most of them that get processed end up going to appeals. I mean, how many of them get processed once and it's like, that's done right, that's good, we're done?
Yeah, do you have any idea what the percentage is of things done right the first time?
No, I have no, you know, personal knowledge, but I don't think that their numbers are good.
That's
got to
be
even the numbers they put out would be even accurate anyway.
That would be a great statistic to see what percentage of claims get redone and how many times they get redone.
Yeah.
I mean, that would
mean before they get it right.
Before they get it right, yeah.
Well, it's tough because I see tons of them that come back and evidence that was right there. I can think of one right off the top of my head. The guy already has 70% service-connected disability, and he applied for individual unemployability because he shakes so bad from Agent Orange-connected Parkinson's that I can barely write his name. And they wrote right in there in the denial that he could do some kind of a desk job. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is he gonna have somebody else sit at the desk and help him write? I don't know. It's just, and what do you do about that? We need to take one last quick break. I guess that's what we need to do about it. It's what they're doing, I suppose, probably, right?
One more break.
We need to take one more quick break.
When in doubt, break.
When in doubt, take a break. It's our last one. Take one quick break. We'll be right back with Miss Rusty Ann Brown.
There we go.
Saved our bacon on a Sunday. Love you, Rusty.
Saved me from laundry.
Thank you.
Saved you from having to watch the Raiders.
Oh.
Ready, break.
We'll be right back. Good one, Bob. Who's that?
Sheryl Crow.
Why didn't we know that? Okay, because we never know. I would lose Name That Tune. My mom used to love that show. That makes me old, actually, because that show is long gone.
Long gone.
Remember Name That Tune?
Oh, yeah.
And they, you know, I can name that in two notes
in
or whatever.
Two notes,
my mom could totally do it, too.
Yeah, in one note.
She was always all over it. I'm going to post a picture of the puppy. There is a new puppy at our house, and he's living in a little suitcasey thing, you know, those little duffel bags with mesh on them. He's been sitting on the stool through the whole show. Now he's upside down sleeping.
He was almost our guest today.
Yeah, he was right, very nearly the guest. But it's kind of funny because apparently radio isn't as stressful as we made it sound today. So anyway. Well, Rusty, we really appreciate you coming on with us and giving us the update. How long has anybody mentioned to you how long they think the Inspector General will be in Oakland?
No idea. I know they were still there on Friday, so
they had some big management meeting, right? Didn't they? And they had some big management meeting at like 3 o'clock or something.
Oh yeah. So, and you know, from what we understand, a list got turned over to OIG from an employee that outlines the 600 or 700 claims that they just finished working on. I believe it was 700, or it may have been the last 1,300 claims, but turned over a list of old informals that the VA was trying to kind of squash.
Well, the Inspector General was in there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because I called the Inspector General's office and asked them to phone a couple people there that had requested a call because their manager wouldn't let them go talk to the Inspector General. And the Inspector General's comment was, "Don't these guys ever learn?"
Oh, wow.
Isn't that your job? Why don't you go explain that? Because they don't listen to us. Amazing, though. But it's great, though. Even with everything happening, there are still people who are willing to pipe up and do the right thing.
Yeah. In spite of
absolutely.
The consequences.
There are some good employees there in Oakland.
Yeah,
there really are.
Absolutely are. And they're just dogged no matter how much crap they get.
And it's really a shame. You know, you get a new employee that goes in there, has all the... You know, the excitement of a new job and really wanting to do the right thing and help people, and just within days they get crushed and get thrown down in their little box and get to realize what it's really about. It's just wrong.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I think it took me a week to realize it. A week. Rose-colored glasses were gone.
All comes off. Well, you know, it really matters that everybody works together in the systems, the Inspector General, the congressional offices, the people at the VA, and at the end of the day,
OSC.
That's true, the Office of Special Counsel. It's pivotal that the veterans not give up. I mean, I don't think we mention that enough. We joke about this not because it's funny, but because otherwise we'd be shouting obscenities and, you know, the FCC would be all over Carl, but... it is one of the choices, though. So we just
want... But that's what they want us to do.
That's what they do. They want people to give up. And, you know, please don't resubmit that claim. You know, we're just going to deny you anyway. And there are lots of people who feel like it's a wasted effort. But you know what? Not a wasted effort.
No.
Because there's a guy right here in Redding, California, who's waited 37 years, finally got it back from the Board of Appeals, that he was right the whole time. Now, it remains to be seen what Oakland does with that, but he at least has gotten that far, which is pretty monumental, actually. Well, Miss Rusty, we think you're awesome.
Thank you.
It's always good to talk to you, and actually it's always good to share you with our listeners, because I don't think our folks in Philadelphia have heard from you at all, ever. This is the other half of the hearing from April that your whistleblowers in Philly were talking to. So, Oakland and Philadelphia inexorably linked.
Thanks very much, Rusty.
Thanks a million zillion. I'm sure I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Keep us posted. Have fun with your wash. I know I had fun with mine the other day. All right. You can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Everything's on there for you. Today's program, guests, and our contact information. We'd love suggestions on shows. Definitely people who will be available, though, when we're supposed to be calling them. Okay, that's all. See you next week.